All right, welcome back to Who's Talking. This is Jim Hobgood alongside Frank Maloney, and we're going to take a moment now with Matt Shaver to give us an update on the Hokies versus Who's food fight for the benefit of the Central Virginia Food Bank. Matt?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing great, Matt. How are you?
Good. Hey, just checking in. So far, we're about halfway through, and I should point out that we are actually going to extend the competition now to February the 19th due to all the weather. It's kind of slowed things up for us, so we want to get a good chance to raise some donations. So we're going to extend it to next Friday, 5 o'clock. Unfortunately, this week finds us behind the Hokies. Score right about now is Hokies 6,200 points and the Wahoos 3,600 points. So they've almost doubled us up, unfortunately.
Hey, we got them right where we want them.
Exactly. Well, this is how it happened last year. And last year, like we mentioned last week, it's got to happen with the online donations, HokiesVersusWhos.com. That's where we beat the Hokies. So they usually have a strong showing at the U-Crop stores and giving of the canned goods. But the money's where we beat them. So we just need the Who's to step up and hop online and start donating.
Matt, briefly, give us a little snapshot of other events that might be coming up for the Richmond Club of UVA alumni.
Sure. One coming up in the distance in April, the men's soccer team is actually going to be taking on the Richmond Kickers, and that's actually going to benefit the charity program of the University of Virginia,
right.
Alumni Club here in Richmond. And then on February 28th, later this month, the Walter Ridley dinner is going to be happening, and that benefits the Walter Ridley Scholarship Fund. And the esteemed guest will be outgoing president, Mr. Castine. So,
very good. And I think there's a game watching event tonight downtown, although the game has been postponed.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm headed there. We're all going to gather at T. Miller's downtown to enjoy the Maryland game. Unfortunately, that didn't happen, but the event is still on. We're hoping to get some Wahoos out and gather some canned donations and some online donations and put that towards the food fight.
Well, Matt, enjoy that tonight. Before we let you go, and at that Central Virginia Food Bank, particularly given the economic situation, it's a very, very worthy cause. So give that online website one more time for our listeners.
Sure. It's www.HokiesVersusWhos.com, and they can turn about a dollar of online donations into about 5 meals. So giving $25 generates about 125 meals for area hungry. So your money really goes a long mile with that organization.
Well, sounds good. Thank you for joining us, and enjoy the evening tonight. You won't get a chance to see the Who's. Maybe you can stay long enough to see the Hokies in North Carolina State and Duke, Carolina. Some games, just not the Virginia game.
Well, thanks, guys. We appreciate the support.
Matt, you're welcome.
Matt, go get them. Hopefully you guys can pull out the win, okay?
We'll do our best.
Take care, Matt.
Thanks.
All right. What we're working towards right now is good. We've got Chris Horn on the line, who is the Sabre recruiting analyst. Chris, are you there?
I'm here.
Very exciting. Glad to have you back, and we wanted to give you a good fair shot to sort of put a bow and a big ribbon around the recruiting for 2010, and maybe give us a little perspective on, you know, what's shaping up for 2011.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me back, guys. And well, Virginia they signed 17 players last Wednesday, and there was one surprise: Kyra Latimer, who's a safety prospect out of Dematha Catholic High School in Maryland, didn't sign, but he remains committed to Virginia. He's working on his academics and may have to go to prep school, and that's kind of a tentative plan as far as I know right now with him. Virginia was able to secure Morgan Moses, though, on signing day. He did re-sign with Virginia, which is big. Of course, he has to qualify. That's the next big step for him. But if he can get there and if he can make it, and I've talked to several people, and they're confident he can. Of course, he still actually has to do it. If he can, that certainly gives Virginia a big boost along the offensive line with the 6'7", 340-pound offensive tackle there. But overall, I think Mike Lennon coming in, he did a good job keeping the class together. Running back Kevin Parks, Jr., out of North Carolina, is one of the the highlights of the class along with
Moses. Chris, not to interrupt, but let me just ask you a quick question about at Coach London's press conference. He spoke at some length about Kevin Parks, and I was just kind of curious. I mean, is this kid a sleeper, or was he heavily recruited by a bunch of schools and we just simply beat them in the recruiting process?
Well, he committed actually last February, so he committed really, really early in the process. He had several offers at the time. East Carolina and Illinois were the other two offers that he had at the time that he committed to Virginia. So who knows exactly where his recruitment would have gone. I have to think, though, that he would have attracted some more offers had he waited a little bit. But it's kind of a little bit of both in a sense. He was super productive in high school, but he's only 5'7", about 190 pounds. So he's a big back for being only 5'7". But with that height, I think a lot of people may be kind of underestimating him in terms of the rankings. I know he's only by several of the recruiting services, he's only considered a 3-star prospect. But I think with that size, maybe some people are underestimating him, but nobody's been able to stop him on the high school level. And I know Coach London seemed pretty excited about him coming into the class and what he might be able to do.
You know, Chris, looking at this group of 17 players, mm-hmm. Four quarterbacks, some players that they were able to bring in from out of state that played for some top-notch schools. I think Ryan Cobb is one.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of talk about Chris Braithwaite from mm-hmm. Flushing. You know, some of those guys, it looks like there's some, you know, that Coach London and the staff actually plug some of the bigger gaps. Maybe where are some of the holes, and maybe overall, what was the overall strength of the class?
Overall strength, I agree with you there, Frank, as far as getting guys from those top-notch schools. And you mentioned Ryan Cobb from Don Bosco Prep out of New Jersey, which was USA Today's number one high school program in the country this past season. And he's a guy who played all 4 years for that program. So I think that certainly says a lot. He's a guy that's coming in as a fullback, linebacker. In terms of some of the maybe weaknesses of the class, I think certainly defense is maybe adding a few more playmakers on that side of the ball would have been helpful. But as far as it was just such a tough situation kind of with so many questions around the program last year. And then, of course, the season that they had and then the coaching change, just a lot of things built up. But they were able to get some solid players. I mentioned Kevin Parks is a guy who I'm interested in seeing if he's going to be able to contribute as a true freshman. I certainly wouldn't put it past him in getting guys like E.J. Scott out of another top program, Good Counsel, in the WCAC. He's a wide receiver who could certainly add some playmaking ability there. So I think they did get some guys who can be some significant contributors going forward. And it'll be interesting to see with Coach London. He'll have a full year now to recruit these guys, and we'll see what happens next February.
You know, looking at 2011,
mm-hmm.
I've seen your short list that you've created. Who are the top two or three prospects on Virginia's wish list for 2011?
In my early top 10 that I have for the Sabre.com right now, Curtis Grant is my number one, and I think he's a guy that is a guy that it could end up being a real in-state battle between Virginia Tech. And now he's a national caliber recruit. He just recently got offered by Alabama.
And what's his position, Chris?
He's a linebacker out of Hermitage High School. And Mike London has impressed him. He actually took a visit to Virginia for Junior Day last month. I know he grew up following Tech a little bit, so I think and he's told me before that he really likes Virginia Tech's defense. So that's definitely going to be an interesting one to watch as far as especially if it's an in-state battle. And then the other guy to mention would be Dominique Terrell out of Northern Virginia. He's 5'10", 170 pounds, but he's an outstanding athlete, a guy with tremendous speed and quickness who you could plug in at receiver, cornerback, running back, kind of a lot of different spots, return man. And both in-state schools have already offered him, and he's another guy who's got national level attention.
We've gotten an email from Lee Wisger in the Far West End asking a question. You know, who is the top wide receiver target for UVA this coming year?
I got to go with Dominique Terrell there. I think he's a guy that I would put. Yeah, he'd be a terrific slot receiver or even wide receiver, just a big time playmaker there. And I think I certainly have to go with him out of Osborne Park. He plays quarterback for his high school, and had an excellent year at quarterback last year. And he's got potential as a cornerback as well on defense. But I just really like him as a receiver, and I think I'd like to see him on that side of the ball on the next level.
How about Quinta Funderburk?
Quinta Funderburk out of Oscar Smith High School, which has been one of the top programs in the state the past several years under Coach Rich Morgan. Quinta actually has been offered by Alabama, which is where Phillip Sims, who is a highly regarded quarterback out of Oscar Smith, signed with this past class, 2010. And he's a big receiver. He's like 6'2", 6'3", about 200 pounds. And I'm sure Virginia's going to take a close look at him. He's had an all-state season this past year and kind of continues that tradition. And, of course, Virginia already has Tim Smith, who was a standout at Oscar Smith under Coach Morgan, and he played last year as a true freshman. So I'm sure they'd like to continue that, if they can, continue that receiver tradition there.
Chris, we thank you for the update. Thanks for joining us again. We'll let you go, but certainly we will stay in touch because this is an ongoing subject that obviously Virginia fans have a great deal of interest in. So, again, thanks for a few moments tonight just to update us on this year's class and next year's prospects.
Thank you, guys, and great show tonight. Thanks a lot.
Thank you,
Chris. All right, Jim, let's talk basketball.
Oh, this is about time. My goodness.
Go get them, Tiger.
Well, I think we're talking about the First Capital Bank, of course, where people matter, the play of the game, and we selected the Wake Forest game, even though it was a loss. And I just was going to go to the last 26 seconds of regulation where Ishmael Smith, who, man, is he quick, very, very difficult to guard him off the dribble. I would probably tell Jontel Evans and others, if we play Wake Forest again, which would have to be in the ACC tournament because we don't play him again in the regular season, but I'd give that kid a step or two and make him prove that jump shot from the perimeter. But anyway, Smith beat our defenders like they were nailed to the floor, scored a layup with 26 seconds. On the other end of the floor, Sylvan Landersberg, who just had a fabulous game against the Deacons, unfortunately did not produce a win, but Sylvan was able to score on a driving layup himself. 15 seconds to go in the basketball game, and I at least was a little worried that maybe he scored too soon because that tied the game once more. Wake Forest had the basketball, obviously, with an opportunity to get up the last shot. Of course, they put up one shot, missed. Interestingly enough, the rebound ricocheted to another Wake Forest player, and the interesting thing is Calvin Baker just grabbed the heck out of that guy's arm. Dino Gaudio went absolutely ballistic, and when you saw the replay, you understood why Dino went crazy, but referees, they have a real reluctance in that last 1 or 2 seconds to blow the whistle and give a team an opportunity to win the game at the free throw line, so Virginia escaped at that point in time, even though Calvin Baker did commit the foul. Unfortunately, when the game went into overtime, Wake Forest was able to prevail.
Well, it was a very hard-fought game, and I think the game against Wake demonstrated a couple things. First off, the ACC had no problem forcing UVA to hold the game in a driving snowstorm. However, when Virginia was already in College Park at the hotel this week in advance of this new storm that hit us again today, somehow Gary Williams was able to persuade the conference not to hold the game.
Well, I don't know if it's Gary Williams' absolute decision, but you're right. It puts Virginia in a very difficult schedule bind, given the 5 games in 11 days, 4 of which are on the road, and as you pointed out to me yesterday, in 4 different states. So a lot of travel, not very much preparation time. I think, quite frankly, that bothers coaches more than it does players from a preparation standpoint, but certainly travel, especially in the bad weather. Virginia will have to go to Blacksburg for the Saturday game and then turn around and almost drive immediately to College Park, Maryland for a game on Monday night. So hopefully we'll get a little break weather-wise.
You know, one thing that I did like about the Wake Forest and the NC State games, Virginia played, I thought, excellent defense in the second half against NC State and again played excellent defense in the second half against Wake. Even though Ishmael Smith was able to get to the lane sometimes fairly easily. I think he gets the lane against everybody. But overall, we closed the gap on Wake Forest. When we played them down in Winston-Salem early in the season, we got shellacked. basically, and made a furious comeback.
The four keys to this Virginia team were free throw shooting, turnovers, defense, and rebounding. They did well in several of those categories. I thought the key to the game against Wake Forest, especially second half, gave up far too many offensive rebounds that Wake Forest took advantage of, and that's what allowed them to take the lead in the second half and ultimately win the game. But certainly the effort is there, and you have to commend the team and Tony Bennett from that standpoint.
One thing to look forward to is next week we're going to do an extensive analysis of the UVA basketball program and all the games that are taking place this coming week. We're headed for our next break, and we'll bring everyone up to speed on all the other sports at UVA.